But it's got a lot of good stuff in it today, so especially for your moms. So I want to talk about the beauty and wisdom of godly mothers. And I think beauty, wisdom, and godly all go together. And I think women carry with them an anointing, whether they know the Lord or not, for family, for tenderness, for things of the Lord, for things that represent God quite well. But as they get to know the Lord even better, they get even more beautiful and more wise. And also, they've always held such a significant place in our families, but as I get older, I realize how much more amazing they really are. And this Mother's Day is no exception in our household. Just amazing how God gifts godly mothers with so much that we don't even realize till later, you know. Memory comes back, we realize, oh, that was built in me by my mom and all that. Some of us didn't have godly mothers. Some of us were raised in families that didn't know the Lord. But there's something about a mother in terms of her anointing, her God-given anointing that comes through anyway, even if they don't know the Lord very well, because God put them in place for a very specific reason for our lives. So I'm just going to give a few points on this, four things. One of them is that godly moms show us how to persist in the weakness of prayer until divine blessings come. They're really, really good at this. And by saying good at that, I mean, like, you could say, oh, they're good at knitting or whatever, but good at prayer means that it changes people's lives, that God actually listens to them. And they actually pray with a measure of faith that brings heaven down. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." God gives moms an intuition about the good plans he has for their kids. It's remarkable. I can just remember this day. I ski today every once in a while. I haven't done it in a long time. The only reason why I know how to ski is mom got an idea. She said, you know, I think it'd be great for you kids to know how to ski. She didn't know anything about it, so she carts us up this mountain and away we go. And that was just one of many things like that. She just get an idea in her mind. I think that would really bless them someday later in their life if they did this and they did this, you know. And she was always coming up with ideas like that, thoughts, you know. And we thought, what, you know. And come to find out, most everything she had in mind was really, really good, especially when she had that little intuition about what we needed to do. And she was so sensitive about good plans, blessings, how nice it would be, you know, how nice it would be if, fill in the blank, moms do that. How nice it would be if, you know. And I remember my own mom, she'd get these ideas about things, you know, what would be good and nice things. Most of them were really great in the end. And so I think that moms have this unique wisdom about planning things that are good for their own kids and an intuition that's unmistakable that comes right from the heart of God. And then it spills over into their prayer life where they begin to pray those things down on you. Many of you here in this room are the result of your mother's prayers. Many of you. Some of you are aware of it, some of you aren't aware of it, but many of you know the Lord because of their prayers, because of this intuition, this thing that God gives them. I want to read from Luke chapter 1, 41 to 45, some examples of how mothers work. And what I'm going to really be speaking about today is how God and mothers work. It's the beauty and wisdom of godly mothers, how God uses mothers to bless us, bless the world, through the anointing, the very presence of the Spirit that God places on them. And so we read this right down from the beginning, Luke chapter 1, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Now Elizabeth was her cousin. She's already pregnant. But the baby leaps. She can feel the baby leaping. And he became a prophet, of course, John the Baptist, right? She feels it. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Now, this is something we read all the time. We know all about it. But think about this. On planet Earth, no one knew what God was about to do except these two women. They knew. The one that had the one in her womb knew who she was. She knew she had John the Baptist in her womb. And he was going to prepare the way for the one that was in Mary's womb, right? She says this. This is before anyone in the whole earth knows this. And I just think that's significant. But for anyone on the earth knows this, these women know. They know. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? They're just talking over the kitchen table like this is nothing. This is the most important event in all of history, and two moms are talking it over. Does that strike you a little strange? I wonder what else moms are talking over. How it affects us personally, right? Moms talking stuff over, right? Moms and grandmas, aunts, uncles. As soon as the, I didn't mention, uncles could throw them in there too, I guess. This is about moms though. As the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. That's amazing. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. Now, so Mary's been told she's going to be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. And she knew that there might be a little disconnect there. And there was a little disconnect in her knowing that she's the mother of this prophet who's going to prepare the way for this Messiah. So they're way up there. I mean, they're way in the invisible, right? Finding these things out from God. And talking about them before anybody else on the whole planet knows this. But she says this. This is another thing that's something I've noticed about women and moms in general, especially with regard to their kids, but just life around them. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Wow. So one thing I found is that moms have a lot of things inside of them they'd like to see for their children and for their families, right? And when they begin believing in those promises, they're going to come to pass. When they really get a hold of something like that, I am telling you, heaven opens its doors in a way that's extremely unusual. I've noticed this in my family, but we see it right here. These two moms. I mean, before anybody else on the earth really understanding what's going on, one's going to be John the Baptist's mother, and the other one's going to be the mother of Jesus, and they're both talking in the kitchen about it. So that in itself is amazing. You can say, well, that's really amazing. But maybe we just think a little deeper. What does that have to say about mothers and motherhood and how God values it? And maybe even about destinies. About destinies. I think moms get intuition about good plans he has for their kids. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope." But I think God uniquely places that in mothers to understand about their children. And with that, when we say mothers, we should also remember our own mothers. And even if they're alive, whether they're alive or we're alive, things they said over us, things they knew about us, they might not have got it perfectly, but there's an incredible reservoir. Even for your mothers that are alive, maybe you're older, but you have an older mother. Listen. Because somehow or another, I've noticed that God equips them, even when they don't know the Lord very well, he equips them to somehow understand the good plans he has for us. God has good plans, and he releases often those good plans to moms. He gives them sort of prophetic insight. So I'm saying that for two reasons. One, to notice, and number two, ladies who have children, don't shrink back. If you think you know something in the Lord about your children or about the family, make sure you make it clear that you believe that's from the Lord. They might not listen. But the second thing you do is you have this unique ability, as we're going to see, to pray things in. I think it might be especially over your own kids. Maybe it has to do with the connection you had with them in the womb. But lots of times the enemy tries to talk us out of that special connection. But it's one of the most powerful connections. We see it right here at the beginning. But it's always true. You women have a special connection, and most of you know that, in prayer with your lives or your children. But when we say prayer, that's a nice word. But when I say prayer, I'm talking about the outcome of your children's lives. Some of you right now are contending with kids that are far away from the Lord. They don't know the Lord. You've been contending for some time. And some of you have contended for your children and are on the other side of it, and they're beginning to be blessed and grow and be a blessing. But I just would like to do this for a moment. I just can't resist this because of the power of this truth, and we see it here as we unfold these passages of Scripture. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to stand, moms, and I'd like you just to pause as you stand, and I want you to pray here before the Lord for your children, something about them that they need. So take a moment, and so we're going to remember that on this date, on May 11th, Mother's Day, you prayed for a couple of very specific things for your children, okay? Maybe you're praying to have children. But we're just going to take a moment, and I'd like you just to offer that up on the behalf of your kids. And I want you to do that, number one. You can just do it, but you know, just silently. You can pray quietly if you like, however you want to do that. That's number one. And number two thing I'd like you to do is whatever you prayed on this Mother's Day, write it down. Write it down. And then roost like a mother chicken on their eggs. Just sit on that, what you prayed today. It's Mother's Day 2025. Go ahead. Just take a moment. Just pray. Just tell God what's on your heart about them. Breakthrough, Lord. Breakthrough. Some need healing. Some need to know Jesus. Some of our kids are addicted to things. Some of them are sick. Some of them need vision. Some of them need husbands. Some need wives. Some of them need new jobs, a new career. Some of them need their health back. Break the darkness, Lord. Bring the light. As these moms intercede for their children, I pray, God, good measure, pressed down, shaken together over their families. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So if I were you, I'd write down what I prayed on Mother's Day. That's an easy way to remember. What did you pray? And prayer is a very interesting thing. It's got an introductory phase, but it often has a sitting on the eggs phase. So prayers have this way of being hatched over time. Sometimes they hatch immediately. Sometimes they come out over time. But the more you sit on those eggs, the more possibilities you have for them to be come into being. It's unique. I've watched this for a long time. This wasn't just a Mother's Day exercise. This is where basically, from my view, I mean, I've been around a little while, I've seen so many miracles happen from a mother's prayer through the years. I've had a chance to see that and watch it. And I've been around long enough to see now even down into their grandchildren what happens with a mother's prayers and a grandmother's prayers. So, Lord, just take everything that was said today quietly before they prayed and when they prayed. And I pray, God, we would see amazing answers. And if you get those answers, let me know. Write a note to me or just come and tell me what happened, okay? So I fully expect some breakthrough just for that little time. Oh, that wasn't like long enough. Or that no, it just takes a simple thing from a mother of faith to cause the earth to move, right? So I want to talk about Hannah and her son. Samuel is on C of your outline, one seat. So her son became the prophet Samuel, but it was very, very interesting. It's a very interesting story how that came to be. And so I just want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 to 20. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping?" And then he said this genius thing, "Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Wasn't a lot of wisdom there. I say things like that all the time. We could just preach a sermon about that. Don't do that. Once when they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorposts of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you'll only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. She was in a lot of pain. Eli thought she was drunk. Another genius male thing. Oh my gosh. this story doesn't make us look good. And said to her, how long are you going to be drunk? Put away your wine. Oh, my God. Not so, my Lord Anna. She's probably thinking, you idiot. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of great anguish and grief. Out of great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer cast down. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Samuel means something like heard of the Lord, right? I'm going to say that again. Because I asked the Lord for him. Because I asked the Lord for him. So she asked, interceded, and got the answer to her prayer. Now, moms do a lot of things like that. And if you don't do a lot of things like that, moms, I just encourage you to do so, because it seems to be part of something that we see all through the scriptures, an ability, just something that's given. And especially for men and as well, I think men should learn from this. Because if you think about that, if we're asking for things in this matter of asking and receiving, it's such a dynamic, incredible thing that we get to do that with the Most High God. And so I've tried to make it as much as my lifestyle as I can, but I learned a lot from things and stories like that in the Bible. And so Hannah did not let her barrenness keep her from praying for God's promises. We read these verses. And she named her first child Samuel because she said, I asked the Lord for him. And Samuel sounds like the Hebrew word for heard by God. And so we see in Luke chapter 21, verses 29 to 36. Israel is about to have a horrible disaster. And Jesus is telling them in advance that it's going to happen, right? And so from Luke chapter 21, verse 29, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. So what he's talking about is actually literally the destruction of Israel. And the nation as they know it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all you, all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch, and he says, and pray that you may be able to escape all this going to is about to happen, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So that last verse is the key thing. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to stand to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So in the Lord's Prayer, there's a part of the prayer that's extremely important. I wear this part out, by the way, myself. Lord, lead us not in temptation, which is another way to translate. Lord, lead us not into testing. Another way to say that is, Lord, keep me out of trouble, but deliver me from evil. So he put that as part of the formula of prayer, just the each part of the prayer operates in some realm of your life. And one of them is in the area of protection. So I've about worn that out. Jesus is warning them that something's happening, a disaster is coming. What he's really warning them of is, first, he understands they're going to be rejecting him. Second of all, he knows that's going to make them incredibly liable in every family, every child. And eventually, not too much a time will pass before the entire nation will be destroyed. And they didn't come back to that space until 1948. It was a big deal. It was a really big deal he was talking about here. But what was his answer? He told them to pray. He said, be careful in any kind of trouble that's coming. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing and the spirit of the age, drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And so even the anxieties of life sometimes can just choke the prayer life that we have, the access we have. If that didn't make a difference, he wouldn't tell us. If prayer was just the sort of thing where you just hope that things don't happen bad to you, it'd be one thing. But he's actually giving us a design. He's actually giving us a plan, a way to avoid evil. Part of the Lord's Prayer is lead us not into temptation, which means testing, but deliver us from evil. So as I began to learn that more and more, I spent a lot of my time just saying, Lord, keep evil off my family. But mothers prayed in such a way that they're more sensitive to danger, I think. I think Janice is way more, got her headlights on a lot farther than I do when we're driving along in the dark. She sees farther. She's already interceding and looking for things. It's something that God gives moms especially, but I think women as well. There's something about that. And so Jesus is just saying, you know, guys, it's a disaster, but here's the thing. Okay, so it's going to be a disaster. How can I help that? He wouldn't tell them to pray unless that would be a remedy, unless that would either lessen it or remove it altogether. And the prayer, lead us not in temptation, is exactly that. Lead us away from testing and trial. Keep us from the attack of the enemy. Keep us away from traps. Help us to see them before they come. Or if they come, make them help us to be ready to know how to handle that particular thing instead of being totally surprised. As I've watched people's lives, one of the things I've understood and seen a lot is sometimes people are not very well equipped to handle trouble. They'll be bumping along and something terrible happens. And because they don't have much of a prayer life, they're not equipped. And they make horrible mistakes when trouble comes, and they make it worse. They make it worse and worse. So what we do with our prayer life is that we are going to experience trouble in this life, but our prayers, they help us to see in advance. They also help us to manage in advance. They help us, God's giving a provision there, a simple provision to respond correctly to trouble and actually to turn it maybe even before it even comes. That's why he said, and lead us not in temptation, or the word is, lead us not into testing, which I think is a pretty good deal, don't you? And so in responding to Samuel's birth, Hannah revealed a great secret. And she says this in 1 Samuel 2, 6-9. And I'd like to read these verses because I think they're also very, very helpful. 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sends them. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Now this is Hannah praying in response to this child that she knows is coming. She's praying it in advance. She realizes that this miracle that she wants to see is not going to be obtained by strength, but by the weakness of her travail before the Lord. And it's interesting to me, we're talking today on Mother's Day, and Stan Frisbee sitting over there. It's Mother's Day, a special event for the Vineyard. Were you there? Were you there on that day? From Calvary to Vineyard. And on that day, it was a special day, wasn't it? Signs and wonders and miracles, all kinds of things happen. It's sort of like the Vineyard was christened in a way by the Lord, right? Notice christened has the word Christ in it, right? It was like he released the Vineyard into the understanding of many things. He released the power, and then they tried to figure it out later. He picked Mother's Day of all days. So every Vineyard church, when they think back in Vineyard history, they think back on that day. It happened in Anaheim, right? Or it actually knows it was in a high school. Which city was it in?
Anaheim,
right, in a high school. I hadn't got to the building, right? So it was amazing. So the thing is, when Hannah reveals, it's not by strength that one prevails. So did you earn that? Did you deserve it? Did the Vineyard deserve it? It was obedience to let the Lord do what he wanted to do by Lonnie and John at that moment, right? And John didn't want to do it. And Lonnie was trying to be good. So let's just say that it wasn't by strength that they prevailed. Just in the weakness of, let's let the Lord do some cool stuff, right? And John said, okay, I don't know what that's going to look like, but okay, right? And it was done in weakness. It wasn't done because they even knew anything was going to happen. They didn't understand there would be a whole movement that began to be produced out of this and that God would do things around the earth, right? So in response to Samuel's birth, Hannah prayed a great secret. It's not by strength that one prevails. And this thing called prayer is very weak. We would much rather do a whole lot of other things. But it's the groundwork for other things that we might do, yes. It's not the only thing, but it's far more pervasive. I think that I've tried as best I can for years after year from this pulpit to help us understand that the invisible produces the visible. That this access that we have to the Father through the death and resurrection of the Son is a very simple concept, but yet so hard to live by faith, this place. And this woman could have just been bitter. Hannah, for example, given bitter. She gets embittered. Oh, God doesn't love me. God doesn't like me anymore. You know. Instead, she's doing this wonderful praying before the Lord. And then Hannah converted one prayer into many more answers by allowing her miracle to live before the Lord always. So she said, you know what? I'm going to give this son, and he's going to live before the Lord. He's going to minister right in this house, and he's going to be with you, Eli. And that little boy became a prophet. And then God gave her five more miracles, three more boys and two girls. What an amazing story that is, right? But she didn't stop giving. It's interesting. This is her only son. But she realized it was the beginning of something. You would think that son that she'd been praying for so desperately, this child she wanted, you just take it home and love it to death, right? But instead, she gave it to the Lord. She knew this came as a direct result of her intercession and asking God. She knew it came because of the grace of God, right? And so she dedicated him to the Lord. She'd come back, you know, once or twice a year and see him and make clothes for him and everything. Can you imagine? Isn't it weird? I mean, for us, it's unthinkable. So she prayed in this son, and then she gave him to the Lord. So this giving thing, this praying thing, both those two together, they're weak. They seem impossible. They seem like you're moving in the opposite direction. But praying and giving is moving in the right direction because it moves and changes heaven. It changes the supernatural activity around us. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And in the Lord's Prayer, there's various elements of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom, meaning your authority come in that situation. Do it on earth like it is in heaven. So that covers sickness and all kinds of bad situations. Give us this day our daily bread, financially. There's financial provision. Lead us away from temptation. Lead us away from the testing, the trial of the enemy. Lead us away. Keep us out of trouble, right? Such simple words, but profound. This woman understood it in the beginning, and she understood it at the end, right? She understood, and she had learned the secrets of God. She was working in this invisible world, which I think was part of the beauty and wisdom of godly mothers, is that they work in this area intuitively more than men, I think. Now, men can do the same thing for all of us, right? But here's the amazing thing. The God who gives exceedingly beyond anything we could ask or think. So she gets not only Samuel, but three more boys and two girls. Isn't that amazing? It's such a testimony to us. But Samuel was ministering, it says in the scripture, before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband and to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah's wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take care of the one she prayed for, to take the place of the one she prayed for, and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. She did this year after year, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now, this Samuel guy is a pretty interesting character. He grew up to be a prophet, and he actually inaugurated an entire new season in Israel's redemptive history, and that new season was the age of the kings, and so he was the one that anointed the first kings, and he brought that in, but all of those things in the Old Testament prefigure things that will happen in the future with regard to Israel and the kings and all that sort of thing. So all of these dimensions of things that we see secret in prayer in the Old Testament even that come forth actually have New Testament equivalents as well. Our prayers can pull the future into the present. God somehow makes himself vulnerable to us and seemingly changes his mind sometimes. Sometimes it's a mystery in a way because now, the whole thing of this invisible thing, I noticed that in other countries I've been to, when the gospel takes hold in those countries, I've noticed that one of the first things that seems to happen in many parts of the world is the prayer life begins to be amazing. Something about the supernatural and awareness of the supernatural, something about maybe their habits as pagans, I don't know, but I've noticed that as the gospel comes to many countries, they seem to get a hold of this understanding of prayer better than we do. I think that one of our attributes of our culture is secular humanism, the worship of man kind of and the secularness of it. But most countries have a little bit different worldview. And so when the gospel comes, they kind of know how to a prayer. They're already prepped for it. They know how to pray. We're a little bit at a disadvantage, so we have to understand that about ourselves and sort of have to discipline ourselves in these areas, which something that kind of comes quite naturally supernatural to other countries and other places. So I'll read the story of Mary at Cana. On the third day, a wedding, this is Jesus' mom, wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." So this is the Son of God. She knows he's the Son of God. She knows how he got there. And he basically said, "I can't do it, you know. No, I would like to, Mom. I can't do it because my time hasn't come. You know, it's not time for me to do this sort of stuff. You know, you understand better than anybody. Nobody else knows this secret we got that I'm the Messiah and you know where I came from, right?" So what does her mother say? His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Completely ignores the whole thing. I've been walking with the Lord a little while, and I begin to understand that audacious, crazy prayer is a little better than I thought and more possible. I think that God uses prayer to tease us, kind of move us around a little bit, help us to understand. He teaches us along the way. You know, that's why sometimes things seem like no, but are really yes. I don't care how much time's passed. I think that little phrase I just said is more powerful than it sounds. We think no means no, but no in the kingdom, especially if it's a good thing, means just persist until no becomes yes, right? So she wasn't going to take no for an answer. The reason why she wasn't going to take no for an answer is because this was going to be very, very humiliating for this family. And she's having this normal female motherly compassion for the family. And God respected it. Do whatever he tells you. She knew he said it, but she knew behind what he said. Could God actually be like that with us? Could he actually play hard to get? I find in my prayer life, it's so. You know how I know? Because I've prayed for endless lists of things. And I found out not to give up. Sometimes no just means a delay. Sometimes it means maybe. Sometimes it doesn't mean no at all. I don't know how to make sense of that. But I know if it's a good thing. I know. But often, more often than not, I just have to keep going. And if he gives me a little wisdom on how to pray a little different, okay, fine. But it's going to be better than what I prayed for originally. Could God be that good? Could he actually be better than we think? Could he actually go beyond what we think and ask? I think that's a scripture somewhere, right? Nearby stood six stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And so we know what happened next. It's the best wine ever, right? They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Hey, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best till now." An amazing thing. That little thing there, that little change with Mary, just do what he tells you, that whole thing. And he's saying, "My hour is not yet come." This is the Son of God. Hour. Sounds ominous. You know My plan. You know God's plan. You know how this came about. My hour has not yet come. And she totally ignored him. Wow. So there's something we call the audacity of prayer. The never give upness of prayer. The persistence of prayer. Jesus taught about that. He said, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. I think many of us don't get answers from prayers for prayers because we stop asking. We stop thinking. We think it's a done deal. I tell you, from my experience, nothing's a done deal. Very little is a done deal. Even if you didn't get exactly what you asked for, he has this habit of giving you more. If someone shed blood for you and died for you, would you say he's for you? Then if he didn't give you what you asked for, then there must be something better, or he's going to answer it, but it's going to take a little time, right? Either way of those is a more reasonable answer than that the one who died for you and told you to pray all the time, be consistent, be persistent with prayer, isn't going to answer or isn't going to help you in some way, right? And so these mothers that as we look on Mother's Day, we find these mothers and their prayer lives are just outstanding, right? My hour has not yet come. And then she says, go and do what he says, right? A Syrophoenician woman's bold reply changed the season and brought a quick answer. Look at Mark chapter 7. This story always gets me as well. It's one of my favorites. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as he heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. In other words, she wasn't Jewish. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Did I read that right? What did Jesus say to her? By children, he meant the Jews. And he says, it's not right for the children's bread to toss it to the dogs. The Gentiles, a common word for Gentiles. Wow. I think I might have got a little huffy at that point. I think a lot of people would. These stories are in here, and you just wonder, what in the world is going on here? But look what happens. Because he was testing her. And the question is, when we're asked for things, are we willing to go on a journey with the Lord? Where he tests us. Where actually no means yes. Could mean yes. Just depends on how we respond. Right? Or yes might be a better answer to the first request that you prayed. After all, this is a Jesus teaches this is something between fathers and sons and children and their parents, right? Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Okay, so we read that story, right? Interesting story. But wonder if your child had a demon. If you've ever seen what demon possession looked like, it's a horrible, scary, awful thing. It disrupts everything. Nothing is not left disrupted in a household like that. There's terror every single day, trouble all the time, right? And yet this woman, the only difference between her and the miracle was she persisted and she said, you know, yeah, but even the children, even the dogs under the table get the children's crumbs. And Jesus said, I can't resist you. I can't resist this. This woman, she should have been offended, and she wasn't. She just knew who I was, and she kept coming. Is this an open invitation to us? Because certainly we're not in this place of alienation from God at all. That's why Jesus came with the cross. That's why he came to die for us. Both Gentile and Jews. It took the Jews a little while to figure out that this thing was for the dogs, which they called the Gentiles. But then the gospel spilled over into the Gentiles, and they were absolutely shocked. They shouldn't have been shocked. They just didn't know yet the full generosity of the Lord. And I think for us, knowing and understanding the full generosity of the Lord is something that we have to contend with all the time, and I believe we're somewhat tested on all the time. We see another parable here in Luke chapter 18. And the great thing about this, what I just said, was this is Mother's Day. And these mothers, and I've just noticed that females and mothers have a sense about them. I mean, I'm actually jealous of the way they gather together and pray. I peep around the corners. I'm always looking. They don't even know. She thinks that I don't look in, but I'm very much, you just don't see me. I'm always hanging around the door. I do. I sneak around. Because the hottest, greatest thing going on in this church right now is the Friday prayer meeting the women do. I believe it. I don't just sneak around because I'm wondering what's going on there. Frankly, I don't care who's there. But they pray. And they intercede. And they ask. To have a men's prayer meeting is a little bit difficult. They have a difficulty showing up once a month. You know why that is? Oh, we're so busy. I worked so hard. I'm so tired. Just have a day off, you know. Of course, mothers, they never work hard at all. And that's really it, you know. But that's not the problem. The problem is they don't have a revelation for what, when two or three gather together, what God could do. He only answers our prayers individually, but we're two or three gathered together. So they don't know that there's dynamite in those prayers. And often the people that come to prayer are some of our weakest people, people that are in most trouble and everything. I think probably if you are strong, then maybe that's also your job to help the weak, right? If prayer meant nothing, it's just an exercise and a discipline that we do, then that would be different. But we're talking about children appearing, people being healed. We're talking about justice, like here in this passage I'm about to read, right? It's amazingly instructive, Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Peter told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. We have all kinds of reasons to stop praying, all kinds of reasons to stop going to prayer meetings. Why prayer meetings are so powerful, it says, where two or three gather together, there I am in their midst. So what he says is when you got two or three gathering, that he's there in a unique way, different than when you're alone. So we have a hard time just doing that with our husband and wife, praying together and agreeing about things, much less agreeing with a person that we don't know, right? But look what's underneath our nose. What's underneath us that mothers so amply and so greatly illustrate? Answers to prayers, healings, jobs, provision over our children. It's not that far away. It's us that's far away. We stop believing. We stop taking these simple things. They offend us even. It offends us to actually have to pray, to yield, to do this. One of the hardest things that husbands and wives have to do is find any time at all to actually agree in prayer about their kids, right? It's difficult. I suffer that. Everybody suffers. I'm not alone. You suffered. I suffered. We all have this. It's because we lose the very revelation that mothers seem to carry by instinct. And even they stop praying sometimes. But I think, as I've noticed, that moms and women especially seem to have more sensitivity to this whole dimension, the supernatural dimension. I'm convinced, at first I thought, well, women are more sensitive and pray more because they're more because they feel weaker. But I got over that a long time ago. I realized it's not that. They actually understand the pain. They understand the problem. It's not even that they're panicking. But there's something inside of them that's wired like this. God put it in them as a supernatural gift. They understand. They see things. They see this better than men do as a whole. And when a guy gets a hold of it, it's a lovely thing to watch, especially when a dad gets a hold of it and a husband gets a hold of it. Because then they start changing the atmosphere around the home together, and now we have two agreeing. For many, many years, we find women holding up a household just by their prayers, keeping kids out of trouble, keeping the family even, you know, and on keel. But when they join together, husbands and wives praying together, it's like dynamite. It's, again, a whole other dimension. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Wow. Always pray and not give up. My guess is in this room today, I'm probably talking to probably at least 30 or 40 people that have given up. You're here. You know somehow it might be brownie points to come, but you gave up because you stopped asking with any kind of fervor over problems that are very difficult for you a long time ago. A long time ago. thing of it is, also, when I was young, one thing is I learned these concepts. I don't know why, but they struck me because I was sort of an entrepreneur as a little kid. I don't know why. I've always been sort of like that. And I thought to myself, well, my Sunday school, I remember when I was 6 years old, she taught about prayer. And I left that meeting thinking, because before I left the meeting, the little Sunday school meeting, I asked her about, like, could I even pray for that, like a BB gun? Now, she could have been super spiritual and said, yeah, you know, you want to pray for more important things than that. No, she said, yeah, BB gun. Well, what else? Like, and I went rattled off a list. Yeah, all that's possible. You just have to ask Jesus. I was 6 years old. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I left that thing thinking, hot dog. And I never stopped praying from that day to this over all kinds of things. And even as a kid, I started getting stuff. I mean, I noticed I could see the answer. I could see it happen. So as I grew, I got old, and my prayers got a little bit more sophisticated as I went on, right? But the basic premise was in there. I could see it, right? And I don't know why that happened to me. Maybe it was a gift the Lord gave me, but it's right out of the scriptures, right? But it was right out of her heart. You've got these little kids up here, right? We're not teaching them just anything. We're teaching them how to access the mighty God. And if you could get me when I'm 6 years old, you can get anybody. Who knows? And on the other side, people that never knew the Lord, never were taken to church, never had an experience, never had a possibility, right? And so what kind of poverty is there in their life? And as I got to be a teenager, I just began to pray for more and more sophisticated stuff. Lord, I like straight A's this time. Lord, I want to be the most valuable player on the basketball team. And I got it. I kept getting stuff over and over again. And then disaster struck. I wanted to play on a national-ranked basketball team. So I went to Oral Roberts University. And I'm thinking, okay, fine. You know, I'm going to make this team no matter what. And I almost did. I came that close. And I was so disappointed. I thought, what in the world? Instead, the Lord gave me my wife. My dad, I'll never forget the look on his face when I told him I wanted to go to Oral Roberts University. He looked at me like I had just slapped him, you know, because I had all these grades. He's thinking Stanford, MIT, he's thinking all the, or just someplace, but Oral Roberts University, like the faith healer place, where you turn the TV on and it says something good is going to happen to you. I walked by the TV one day and I said, Dad, I'm going there. He said, oh, no. So, you know, no, Dad, it's great. I got Holy Spirit 1, 2, and 3 in there. Did you hear him say that? They offer that. And he says, but it's, he said, I'm not sure it's a college. Dad, it's a university. You can't just become a university. I'm going there. They got a great basketball team, too. Maybe I'll make the basketball team. Whatever, you know. I'm just telling this whole thing. He didn't believe me. He didn't believe I'd actually follow through with it. But I prayed about it and prayed about it. And sure enough, that's where I went. Met my wife on the very first day. I didn't even know. I mean, walk in the line, she's standing right in front of me, right there. That was the real reason I went to Oral Roberts University. Other than this, I also sat there and listened to that man talk, and I watched the miracles that happened. Because it was the time when he was building building after building. This was showing up. That was showing up. These entrepreneurs are coming and everything, and all this stuff was happening, and I'm just sitting there, this is the place for me. This is the place for me. Something good's going to happen to me, man. And my prayer life went from here to here. Just listening to, because that was the time when all the miracles were happening around the campus. And I watched what he did, and I watched him carefully how he'd do that. And he would sow, and he talked about this seed sowing he would do, and the praying he would do, and all this, and how. And then we'd be in real time, we'd see how this building would pop up. Then this miracle would happen, right? So I lived in that, and so I sort of got educated. It's the best place for me possibly to go and be shaped, right? But as I look back on it, I was being shaped on the inside to be to work with a supernatural God, really, who we're talking about here. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor... Did I say that again? I read that so fast. Show them that they should always pray and not give up. Not give up. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Did I say always? Is there anything left out of that? No, if it's concerning you, it concerns God. That's a pretty good deal. The only thing that hasn't been able to budge too much with my prayer life is my golf game. It's a mystery. It's actually not a mystery. There's too much time spent doing that stupid sport, but I sure do like it. Just never have been able to get God to change my golf score. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? But I pray about stuff like this. I do. I pray about everything. 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 Before I see it, before I know it. I've been walking around that piece of property for years and years now. And they're having a little trouble, aren't they, Jonathan? A little trouble trying to figure out what to do with that. I wonder if my prayers are messing stuff up over there. I don't know. I'm not sure. All I know is I don't even know what to do. I just keep praying over there because it just feels to me like where we are relative to that and to where Laguna Niguel, just drive around Laguna Niguel a little bit. So if you wanted to plant a church like, and you wanted to do really well, well, where would you plant that? Well, like everything's got buildings on it. That doesn't. I don't know. And by the way, a church isn't just a building like this. A church has all kinds of things to do. Ministry to the poor, the weak, the widows and orphans, and educating our kids and all the rest of it, right? Yes. Grant me justice against my justice, my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me. I don't know if God feels like you're attacking him or not. I don't know. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who what? Cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So asking constantly, crying out for justice, and your situation is faith. Will he find faith? Will he keep putting them off? Will he find faith? Will he listen? Will he hear faith, right? So what do you need justice for? What's your justice prayer? What a great example here in the scriptures of how this thing works. And moms are right there. They're right there helping us understand. Moms demonstrate God's tenderness vividly. It is in God's heart to be mom-like. God and moms have a unique ability to be tender with their offspring. We read these in these wonderful passages, and it's biblical. And for us in this house, tenderness is a big deal. And that's why we have even better possibilities for prayer. We make a lot of a father's love and love. That makes us that puts us in a place where we're not just trying to manipulate God, but we actually like God. We actually love God. We actually love what he does. We actually love the way he does things, right? And that puts you in a unique place with God. Now you've gone from manipulative to a manipulative lover. A heart changed by compassion. That means you start praying for all kinds of people in all kinds of ways, but at the root of it is compassion and mercy, right? As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. He uses that example over Jerusalem. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. I want to pray just a prayer for a moment. I just feel led to do this. I think there's probably at least 30 or 40 people in here that need to be comforted today. You came to church, and you need to be comforted. There's something in you that just needs, it won't go away. You're upset. Can't understand why God hasn't changed something. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, it says here in the scripture, that I will comfort you. I release comfort in this room to anyone that's grieving over something that hasn't happened yet, something they haven't received yet. Some problem in their life that doesn't seem to want to move. I pray, God, God of all comfort, that you would bring comfort over your people today. In Jesus' name. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but rejoice over you with singing. You see, since Jesus came, there's no rebuking. He rejoices over us with singing. He has to correct us from time to time, but his real heart is to rejoice. He's glad you're here. He rejoices over you with singing. When you come to pray, when you don't come to pray, if you're a child of God, You know him. He rejoices over you, and even rejoices over you if you're about to be a child. He even rejoiced over you before you became a child because he knew you were going to come. Wow, what a God we worship. All this is connected with asking, and it's connected to the beauty and wisdom of godly mothers, because godly mothers are good at tenderness, and they're good at asking for their kids for what they need. Just as a mother's love gives her kids confidence and stability, God encourages us with his compassion so we can believe and walk in the high purposes he has for us. And of course, Jesus walked in these purposes. And one of my favorite passages of scripture in the whole Bible is something that Eddie taught me a long time ago. He said it over and over again. I never forget this scripture because it's so powerful with regard to the matters we're talking about. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. This is John 5:19. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and will show him even greater works than these, so that you'll be amazed. So does the Father just show like real spiritual things? Does he talk about everything in your life? He talks about everything. I found God talks about everything. God's interested in everything. He's interested in everything. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So that word phileo, the Father hugs the Son. He gives him compassion. He gives him tenderness. But at the same time, he's showing him all that he does. And when God shows me what he's doing, guess what I do? I start grabbing a hold of that really tight and declaring it over my life. And that's the whole thing. You understand what God's doing. Then you understand his love for you and his compassion for you. You grab a hold of thing, and you do not give up until that thing comes in, until that answer comes. And sometimes the answer may look a little different than you thought, but it's there for sure. And if you love God and you're hearing his voice, you'll understand the answer, even if it's in a different form. You'll understand that God didn't give you less. He gave you more. He didn't give you halfway. He gave you more than you're asking for. So, Anthony, I'm picking on you again today. I don't know why. So you're crying out like crazy for your business, right? Because there's lots of pressure right now on your business. But that God has so much more for you. He's interested in your business and all your life and those lovely daughters there and that lovely wife and that great son of yours. In the name of Jesus, I just pronounce the love of God over all of you. May the Lord take care of you. May the Lord give you the desires of your heart. May God give you a breakthrough in your family life and over your whole household. In Jesus' name. And everything you're praying, may God ask in the nitty-gritty details and also in the things that seem so elusive you don't even know how to pray for them, about your business or your life. In Jesus' name. And I pray for every family that's in any kind of place, whether they're in a place of puzzled place, they're in a place of hardness, it seems like the grace ran out, whatever area it's in. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would birth prayer in a loving God. A confidence here today. I pray, Lord, that they would not stop until they get to the answer. And I pray you would show them wisdom for what they need. And I pray for all the moms here in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, I just want you to do this for me. Every mom in this room, stand up, would you? Mary's staring at her son on the cross. I bet that was by far the hardest thing she had to do or ever would have to do, right? And there she is, and Jesus already from the cross is providing for her. She says, woman, here's your son. I think it was John the disciple. And back to the disciples, here's your mother. And from the cross he's providing for her. What an amazing thing. But Mary understood something about this son. And there was more to that story than meets the eye. And I just want to say over you women, there's more than meets the eye in terms of the trouble and the problems you're facing, the child problems, the job problems, the health problems, in Jesus' name. Mary understood she wasn't at the cross for some morbid reason, not just to watch the hideous death. She understood that this is a promise from heaven that somehow or another, and this mess that she was looking at, that God was bringing forth something else. She wasn't there just to be with him. She was there to see what else. She saw the what else just a few days later. And I just declare over all the mothers here who are crying out, and maybe they're in a very difficult space where they're facing the cross, but I just want to speak over you. There is a resurrection. There is resurrection life, and whatever you're contending for, I ask, God, that you would give them the power to perceive even more, to see it and to pray for it with great strength and vigor, to not give God rest until he brings this answer into full bloom, into full blossom. And for all the trials and situations you've been, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you would answer, and you answer some more. I pray this would be a day for revelation for you in the next several days and weeks. I pray God give you revelation about difficult problems you're facing. I pray he'd get your confidence back. I pray he'd restore the pain that's inside of you where you've suffered because something hasn't changed in a long time. I ask for mom grace and Holy Spirit grace mixed together to form an incredible answer for you on this Mother's Day. I pray as I pray for them, Lord, for all the situations they're lifting up, the kids they're lifting up, the situations they're lifting up, the financial situation they're looking up, the health situation they're looking at. I pray in the name of Jesus that this would be the day of answers. I pray they would start seeing things, progress in their prayers, and I pray it'd be nothing but a great joy. We just come to you in the name of Jesus on this Mother's Day, pursuing you with all our heart, just like Mary and all the other great, wonderful women of God who pursued God and understood that there was something to be had by simply asking this Father in heaven for good measure, pressed down, shaken together. May that happen to you in your life. Whatever it is, whatever's got you befuddled, whatever's got you confused in the name of Jesus, I pray the good measure, pressed down, shaken together over your life. Amen. Amen. It's Mother's Day, but Dad, that you could take that for yourself. I've learned to surf on Janice's prayers a long time ago. Moms can model the unconditional love Jesus has given to them. Their children will do the same. This is the reason loved and loving parents are so incredibly important. We love because he first loved us. So last thing at the bottom of your outline, I just want to talk about encouragement a little bit. First of all, your children are like precious jewelry that you display and treasure. That's Isaiah 49. So this is something that God's given you, and I just declare, Lord, every child that's away from the Lord right now, every child that's not doing so well, we just declare your grace and your beauty over them. Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. And I will not forget you and your prayers over your children. That's what God's saying today. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Every nasty, horrible situation that tried to lay you waste, in Jesus' name, I command it to depart from you, moms. Your children will hasten back. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you'll wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. In other words, you're going to put these kids, and they're going to be on your neck like an answer. They're going to be like a beautiful ornament. They're going to be beautiful. They're going to make you proud. Your children and your grandchildren, and there's even great-grandchildren represented here. And a great-great-grandchild. Wow, and one great. Man, we need just to pray for you. Huh? He had to remind you. You have three great-great-grandchildren. She said, God's good, in case you heard that. So, Lord, we just thank you for that answer. That's amazing. Thank you for, and also, Raza, I know that you spend 1 or 2 minutes praying, don't you? She does. She's a praying great-great-grandma. Each child has a special purpose, including those great-great-grandchildren. You're already praying for their purpose, aren't you? Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders. Your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids and your great-great-grandkids are what? They are for signs and wonders. They are for more than they know and more than you know. But you know what activates those signs and wonders? Your compassionate prayer, your confidence, coming boldly before a throne of grace. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you just release a huge prayer anointing and huge hope in the place, especially for children that don't fall yet in this category of point C. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. That's Isaiah 54:13. What precedes that is Jesus' death on the cross, the whole book of Isaiah 53, that whole chapter, and then it goes into all the answers in Isaiah 54, what the cross bought for. And one of the things that the cross bought for us is all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. And that word peace is the word shalom. It's a big word. Peace is not just peace in their inner person. Peace is in their body. Peace is in their finances. Shalom is a big word. It's like a blessing. You know, great will be your children's blessing. Every area. Nothing's undone. Nothing's not covered in that word shalom. It's a word that we don't have a word like that. But in the Hebrew, that word shalom is this word here. Great will be their shalom. Amen. Why don't we stand? Thank you, Lord. The beauty and wisdom of godly mothers. So, I just encourage you, mothers and dads alike, on this Mother's Day, if you like, why don't you take a moment just to come forward. You could just spill in the aisle if you like, but just the reason why we have you do that, just take a step. You could do it right from your seat if you like, toward the Lord. But just in this moment, right? Maybe you have to go on. It's okay if you need to. It doesn't matter. But I think I'm at a little Kairos moment here. I mentioned that word last week. I've always felt like Mother's Day is a weird day in a good way. The Vineyard exploded that day. But also, I've always felt like it's that day when moms are thinking about being a mother and they're thinking about their kids. And I've always felt like if we just give God just a moment, just a little moment of prayer, just a minute of honor with our time, that it's a special anointing, maybe I say it that way, or maybe be it done to your faith, but that God has, there's an access and a faith in the room to access things over our family, things that have been longstanding in our way. And so I'd just like to call anybody that would like to come up to just especially prevail and travail over with God today in prayer. Just come to the front. And if someone comes along and prays with you, that's great. But just like Hannah, she is pouring out her prayer to the Lord, and actually what the prophet thought was that maybe she was drunk because she looked like she was so overwhelmed and overcome. But what she was doing was she was travailing for something. And the one thing she was travailing over was having a child. But there's other things you can be praying about. So you could do this from your seat if you like, but the reason why coming down the front's a cool thing is because it means you're like, I don't know, just taking a few steps to say, Lord, would you please hear me fully and completely what I'm asking for today? Because it's Mother's Day, you can ask for anything you like, but you might want to be travailing, especially for your children and their destiny. And dads can be up here, moms can be up here, everybody. My hope is just in this next few moments, you'll catch a wave of grace. Sometimes when we preach the word of God, it produces faith. Faith makes the world go around. And so I know that all of us come in with burdens and things. And if I were you, whatever I pray on this day, I go home and write it down. And then I just keep visiting the subject every few days. Sometimes markers are really powerful. On this Mother's Day, I prayed for what? I prayed for who? I'm especially interested in you guys picking up things that you gave up on. Things you thought weren't possible. Things that maybe are disappointing to you and discouraging to you, and you just gave up or about to give up. So you could do it up here. You could do it from your chair. But as we do a little worship, before you go, just take a moment. And like Hannah did, pour out your heart before the Lord. Tell him what's on your mind. It could be about anything, but if it's of interest to you, God's interested. If he shed blood for you, he's interested. If he calls you his son or daughter, he's interested. Just like you are with your kids. Lord, I pray, God, that miracles would be wrought right now in this little space. Health miracles, children miracles, financial miracles, family miracles. anxiety, miracles. May the Lord just open the gates of heaven. Bless you. Somebody may come and pray with you a little bit, but don't worry. Just do your business before the Lord. Tell God what you want. And mark it down in your Bible somewhere. Say, I prayed on Mother's Day this. And make it crystal clear this is what you're contending for today. Write it down. This is a marker day. You can do it from your seat or do it from up here. Just take a moment and pause while I worship a little bit, right? Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com and we'll see you next time.